woke up yesterday morning and my daughter wasn't here. The doors cracked. I went outside. I went to go around the whole place. I went twice. I did not see her. I called 911.
Welcome or welcome back. I'm Cassie and this is A Wicked World. The story I have for you today is about a little girl who had autism. And instead of trying to understand her, work with her, and love her, her mother just wanted to get rid of her. And that's exactly what she did. This is the story of Nicole Amari Hall. Nicole Amari Hall, who preferred to go by her middle name, Amari, was born sometime in 2013 to her mother, Brittany Hall. She had two younger siblings, one brother and one sister. Amari lived in Gwinnett County, Georgia, with her mother, siblings, and her mother's partner, who was named Celeste Owens. Amari was said to be very smart, observant, and she loved animals. On the morning of Sunday, November 21st, 2021, around 9 a.m., the Gwinnett County Police received a phone call from Amari's mother, Brittany Hall. She told police that she had not seen her 8-year-old daughter since the night before. Brittany said that she was extremely concerned for her daughter's safety, especially since Amari had autism, and they were new to the area as well. The family was currently living at the Hometown Studios Hotel on Jimmy Carter Boulevard in Norcross, Georgia, and they had been for about 2 to 3 months prior to Amari's disappearance. The 27-year-old mother told authorities that Amari had been in the hotel room when she had fallen asleep the night before. She told them that she had fallen asleep sometime between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning, but when she had woken up, Amari was nowhere to be seen, and the hotel room door was open a crack. During the 911 call, Brittany also spoke about how Amari had autism and how she had been very difficult lately. Amari had last been seen wearing a Tweety Bird jacket paired with a white and blue pajama set. She was also said to possibly be wearing her glasses as well as light-up rainbow shoes. Once police arrived at the Hometown Studios Hotel where the family was staying, they first checked their hotel room to see if there was any clues as to where Amari had gone. From there, police would search the rest of the hotel, even doing door-to-door checks looking for Amari. In addition, they also searched a 3-mile radius around the hotel.
I woke up yesterday morning and my daughter wasn't here. The doors cracked. I went outside. I went to go around the whole place. I went twice. I did not see her. I called 911. They was out here for about 4 to 5 hours. I was looking around, but they said they only went in a 3-mile radius. It's not nothing. This is not a good area. It's a lot of trafficking going on. I don't even want to say it, but who's to say that happened? She's very, very smart. Even though she's autistic, she's very aware of things. She's very observant.
A missing person notice for Amari was sent to all media outlets asking the public for their assistance in helping to locate her as they feared she was in danger. At this point, police had also brought in helicopters and K-9 to help search for Amari. In addition, the Department of Child and Family Services, who had prior involvement with the family, was working closely with police to try to find Amari. Police searched all that day, but she would not be found, and they grew even more concerned because it was supposed to be very cold overnight, and they were afraid the little girl would freeze to death. The following day, the search resumed for Amari. It wasn't until nearly 48 hours after Amari had originally been reported as missing when on November 23rd at 10:45 in the morning, Amari was found, but not in the way that everyone had hoped. Her body was found in a wooded area of DeKalb County, near Stone Mill Trace. Amari's little body was found battered and bruised and wrapped up in a trash bag. A trash bag that looked like it had just been carelessly dumped in the wooded area, which was about 15 minutes from the hotel where Amari and her mother and siblings lived. At the time, investigators had no idea how long Amari's body had been in the woods or how long she had been dead for. After the discovery of Amari's body, police held a press conference to let the public know that they had found her. Authorities also proclaimed that they did not know yet how Amari had died. However, they believed that she had never been missing to begin with. Very early on in the investigation, police had been suspicious of Brittany and Celeste.
When we arrived, we met with Brittany Hall, who reported that her child, Amari Hall, had been missing since approximately midnight the previous night. We immediately conducted a large-scale operation in which we worked to locate Amari. This included calling in all resources, our helicopters, our canine. We conducted door-to-door searches. We conducted an extensive search, and there was no sign of Amari. Additionally, we believe that Amari, at this point, was not necessarily missing because there was no indication that she was truly a missing child. We compared statements that we had gotten from Brittany Hall and also her partner, Celeste Owen. We compared those statements with evidence that we gathered and recognized that those statements were indeed false. At that point, our investigation transitioned from a missing person case to indeed a homicide case. I'm deeply sad to report to you that at 10:45 this morning, the body of Amari Hall was discovered in the area of Stone Mill Trace in DeKalb County near the Stone Mountain Freeway. Within the next several hours, we will charge Celeste Owen with felony murder in connection with the death of Amari Hall. Additionally, Brittany Hall will be charged with concealing the death of another. We will continue to also investigate her role in this murder. My heart goes out to the extended family of Amari Hall. We work diligently on this case. The investigators from our uniformed patrol officers who went out and searched the area, we worked extremely hard, and unfortunately these were not the results that we had hoped for. But that being said, we are happy to bring these individuals to justice. And I'd like to, once again, to thank the officers here. I'd also like to thank the residents at the Hometown Studios who were very helpful in our investigation as we searched door to door for Amari.
On top of that, investigators had obtained the video surveillance footage from the hotel where the family was staying. They were also able to obtain some security footage from some businesses surrounding the hotel. And upon watching this footage, police realized that Amari had not been seen even once anywhere on those videos the night that she supposedly had disappeared. So now that this was a murder investigation instead of just a missing persons case, police called in their special victims unit to help assist in the investigation. Brittany was arrested soon after her daughter was reported as missing. She was charged with filing a false police report, concealing a death, and multiple counts of child cruelty. The latter charge was related to the abuse of not only Amari, but also her two younger siblings. Brittany was also later charged with murder. Celeste Owens was arrested a few days after Brittany was, and she was taken in on the charges of providing false statements and cruelty to children. These charges would later be upgraded to include the charges of concealing a death and felony murder. So while police believed that Brittany Hall knew exactly what had happened to Amari, they did not believe that she had actually gone along with Celeste to dump off her body in the woods. Though Brittany had been the one to help point police in the direction of where Amari's body had been found. When Amari's autopsy was performed, the coroner concluded that her cause of death was battered child syndrome. And both her mother and mother's girlfriend were accused of beating her over a prolonged period, which eventually had led to her death. During the pair's arraignment and bond hearing, Brittany actually had the nerve to ask the judge if she was going to be getting a bond amount that day. The judge told her, however, she would not be getting bond, and she and Celeste would be there for a while. Part of the reason for this was because they were a risk to intimidate witnesses, which were the two surviving children, who were also in fear for their own safety. Investigators said that the cruelty displayed towards Amari and her siblings had primarily taken place over the last 2 to 3 months while they had been living in Norcross, Georgia. So while they had been searching for Amari, investigators had also come across some video footage from a Nest camera found on Celeste's phone. This depicted both women kicking and hitting all three children. Authorities had also found information for a U-Haul reservation that the women had made. And this, they said, helped lead them to where Amari's body was found. So I'm guessing they rented the U-Haul, kind of like Adam Montgomery did, and used that to dispose of Amari's body. There was also recent searches done on Celeste's cell phone for nearby lakes. In some video footage from the Nest camera that was taken on July 20th, Celeste was shown blindfolding Amari's brother while he laid on the hardwood floor. It then showed her slapping him in the face and kicking him. Celeste had also hurt Amari that same day in July, when she had slapped her in the face with an open hand, causing the little girl to whip back quickly. In at least two other videos, Celeste was also seen stomping on Amari's brother's and sister's backs. And then in one video that was taken in August, Celeste could be seen stomping on Amari's sister's back, then dragging her across the floor. And this is one of the sick posts that I found while I was looking at Celeste's Facebook. Now, I'm sure this is exactly what she did to her poor children. Brittany, of course, was not innocent in all of this. She had participated in the abuse of her children as well. She had been seen in the Nest camera footage punching and kicking her children. She had also stood over the children with a cord and a belt and would whip their legs. In one clip, Brittany was also seen walking over to Amari and yelling at her, "You're stupid as fuck," and then slapping her in the back 11 times. Then in surveillance footage that was taken inside the hotel in the weeks leading up to Amari's death, it showed Celeste and Brittany beating their three children. Now, officers would speak to Amari's siblings trying to figure out if they knew anything as to what had happened to their sister. One sibling would tell the investigators that Amari had gone to the Bad Kids Hospital and that she died last morning when my mommy went to get weed. Both of Amari's siblings, her 6-year-old sister and 5-year-old brother, had been taken into DCF custody, though shortly after that, they were allowed to live with Brittany's mother, or their grandmother. So as I had said, the Department of Family and Child Services had a history with Brittany and her children. Georgia DCF had received complaints that led to investigations in 2015 and 2017. Both of these investigations, however, would come back as unsubstantiated. DCF also received a phone call in early 2021. However, there was no allegations of abuse or neglect. So based on these records, DCF had no reason to believe the children were in imminent danger. Brittany had previously told Child Service investigators that she was struggling with Amari's behavior. And she had called 3 adoption agencies to try to get her daughter off of her hands. However, she ended up deciding to not go through with it. And following her arrest, Brittany also told DCF investigators that she would do anything to get her children back. Investigators found out that Brittany had punched and kicked Amari in the head several times on November 19th. Celeste was also the one believed to have wrapped Amari's body up in a trash bag and then disposed of her in the woods. A grand jury indicted Brittany and Celeste on 17 counts in early 2022. This included malice murder, felony murder, several counts of cruelty to children, concealing the death of another, and 2 counts of making false statements. At the time of her arrest, Brittany had actually been on probation as well. This was for a felony assault charge as well as a felony theft charge. And she thought she was going to get bond. Katie Fitch is Amari's step-grandmother, and she could not believe what had happened to the little girl.
I spoke to one of Amari's relatives this afternoon, and she said that when she turned on the news, she was completely shocked.
I said, no. She's not dead, but I was wrong. That was just wishful thinking. When she was missing, he was crying. When he found out she was dead, he was crying. His heart broke.
Fitch says her son is Brittany's stepdad.
It hurt. I don't know what happened, why her life had to end like this. And she was just sweet. And if Brittany's mom had known about it, this would have never happened. Because she loved those children.
Both women are still being held without bond. And as of right now, there is no trial date set. The Gwinnett Police Crime Scene Unit also collected donations among their employees and would end up raising more than $3,500 in 1 week. This money was then used to buy toys, clothes, school supplies, and more for Amari's siblings. Well, thank you for listening to all of Amari's story today. While we don't know a whole bunch of details about how Amari died yet, this is a case that I would like to follow up on and give any updates that I hear of. As sad as it is that Brittany wanted to give her daughter up for adoption, it probably would have been better if she had, because maybe Amari would still be alive. And hurting a child is bad enough, but hurting a child with a disability is the lowest of low. So if you do like true crime and you want to hear it from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below and turn on those notifications too, so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you for being patrons of A Wicked World. Adina, Alana, Allie, Allie, Amanda, Amber Lee, Amy, Angela, Angie, Brandy, Brother Mike, Carrie, Catherine, Cecilia, Celia Cruz, Shantae, Claire, Danielle, Danny J, Drew, Emily, Eric, Frank, Georgia, Haley, Hannah Rama, Hannah, Jackie, Jen, Jennifer, Jerrica, Josie, Kara, Christy, Kristen, Lori, Lindsay, London, Mandy, Marion, Mary, Mel, Melissa, Mimi, MJ Kelly, Neoma, Nikki, Owen, Ray, Robin, Sharon, Starlet Sky, Stephanie O, Stephanie T, Susan, Suzanne, Tamara, Tammy B, Tammy S, The Huntsman, Tracy UK, Wesley, and Whisper 216. You guys rock. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.